Shalom to all. Today's episode is Shalom Miguel Dav Chav Tetz. We are starting about the fifth line with the words of Shmuel Bar Nachum B'Shem Rionison. And today's episode sponsor Lili Nishmas Marsh Mirim Sar Basim Yaakov Moshe Hernish Amos Shad Haven Aliyah. So the Gemara tells us Shmuel Bar Nachum says B'Shem Rionison Torah Chaseira. If there's a Torah that's lacking, which means it's missing some of the gillion, some of the empty part of the parchment, ain't Karba Barabim. It's not to be read Barabim. It's not to be read in public. Now right now the Havamin is that's Midina Midin. It's usher to do so. As the Gemara of Atani, we have a brass that tells us B'Bereishis Adam Mabul that if we have a section of the Torah written just from Bereishis until discussion of the Mabul and one is allowed to read from his barabim, even though it's really just a section of the Torah. So our answer is by way of a story. Hadar Askinas, there was an Askinas, which is basically a non-Jew. He burnt the Torah of these people. And Asan Shal Rabbiyan Rabbiyasa, they came and asked Rabbiyan Rabbiyasa, Maulikris Besefer Barabim, are we allowed to read from a Sefer in public, which means from just an individual Chumash, because we don't have a full Torah, so could we just read from an individual Chumash? Amalani told him, Asr, it's Asr. And here's a clarification, Loida Asr. It's not that midin, it's aser. Ella min goydenav shehoina gema is a sense. If they're not allowed to read from this, they're going to have a lot of agmas nefesh. Inun zavnin lohoina chayri, they're going to now go buy another one. So that's why he said they can't read from his chumash, from his individual scroll, because he really wanted them to go buy a brand new Torah. And that's understanding the original thing as well. That if it's Torah chaseira, one's not allowed to read from it barabim, not midina, but just because we want people to have agmas nefesh to go get themselves a regular sefer Torah. Now explain the last part of the Mishnah where we had said v'chim maisrehem, even with extra money. So now the market team is talking about extra money that was collected for a particular purpose. Mimasha gavu gabayit stock of a siru. This is referring to a gabayit stock I had collected and money was left over. In other words, if people pledged money for a particular cause, the gabayit stock went around and collected that money. So even though they had some left over, they're not allowed to change it and give it away for a different purpose. That's because the gabayit stock had already collected it. However, if it wasn't yet collected by the gabayit stock, if it's still by the people who had pledged these donations, they're allowed to decide to give it to something else. Where do we get this from? Kadar of Chir Barba, Azal Chametz. He went to this place called Chametz. Vyavali Pritin, they gave him money, Lemiflaga, to distribute, Liasmayo Ular Malasa, to Yisayman Almanos. And Nafak, he went out, Upagan Rabbanon, he gave it to the Rabbanon, he gave it to Tamid Chachamim. And that's because it must be that he wasn't a Gabbait Staka, so they had said, we want you to give it to Yisayman Almanos, but since he wasn't a Gabbait Staka, that means it wasn't officially collected yet, he's allowed to give it to the Rabbanon if he wants. Now the question is, does he now have to replace this Staka money with something else? Because at the end of the day, the people who had given him the money had told him that they want it for a particular purpose, and so even though, Alpi Halacha, he was allowed to change it, maybe that's just in regards to the money that he was given, that could be given somewhere else, but it could be that he still owes the Yisayman Almanos money. And the answer to that is Rabbah or Mamal Amar, he says, Sarach Lafrish Tachtehen, he does have to replace the other money. And Rabbah Zahir Amar, he says, Sarach Lafrish Tachtehen, or Rabbi Ila Amar, Ainit Sarach Lafrish Tachtehen, he doesn't have to do so. And Rabbi Yasser B'Shem Rabbah Lazar Aymer, he also says, Ainit Sarach Lafrish Tachtehen. Rabbi Yaakov Acha, Rabbi Yasser, Rabbi Lazar, all say B'Shem Rabbi Chanina, Kala Mitzvahs, this really means all tzedakah money, Acho Loyin Oslo Gizbarin, before they're given to the treasurers, Atra Shal Shanoisam, you're allowed to change them, but Mishanit Gizbar, once it's given to the Gizbar, you're not allowed to change them. Once they're earmarked and designated for a particular purpose, that's what they have to be used for. And moving on to Halacha Beis, the Mishnah tells us, we are not allowed to sell that which is owned by the Rabbim to a Yachid. That's because it takes it down from its Kedusha, Divra Meretz or Meir's opinion, whereas Amrulay, they told him, if that's really so, even from a large city to a small city, that shouldn't be allowed. Now, the Havamin of the Mishnah is talking about a Shul, but all the way at the end of the Gemara, we're going to see this is actually talking about a Sefer Torah. Says the Gemara, three people who are the representatives of the shul, they're just like the shul itself, therefore they could technically sell the shul, and it's considered like they're representing everybody from the shul. And the same thing, seven people who are representatives of the city, they're just like the city. Ask the Gemara Manan Kaman, what are we referring to? If the people of the shul or the city accepted these three or seven people upon themselves as their official representatives, then they can buy and sell for them. So even one person is able to do that. And if they were never accepted that these people are allowed to buy and sell as representatives for everyone in the shul or city. So even if you have more than three or seven, they're not allowed to actually, let's say, sell the shul on their behalf because they were never appointed for that purpose. Ella Kanan Kaiman, rather, what are we talking about? Bestam, it's where they're appointed stam. In other words, these three people, for example, of the shul, they were appointed to take care of a lot of other things regards to the shul. Perhaps we would call them nowadays gabayim of the shul, those very much involved in the running and the functioning of the shul. So people do trust them. However, they were never officially appointed to be able to sell the shul or to that high level, but since they were given that trust, so three of them are able to sell it. Now we discuss tzedakah. Ben Yerusha Pasuk Be'ir Acheres. Nice in mind. If a person of one city was in a different city and he pledged to give tzedakah, now he didn't say where he's going to give the tzedakah, but he said he's going to give it, so he has to give it with those people of that city that he's currently located in, which means he has to donate it to that city, not allowed to bring it back home and give it in his city. If we have many people of a city, if we have the majority of one city that were in a different city and they were paisek, and they pledged that they were going to give tzedakah. So nisim kaiman, they're allowed to bring it back to their place and give them the place where they're originally from. It's like this place sifsla de ma'anya. There was a city near this place called ma'anya. People would go from the city to ma'anya, and they would pledge tzedakah, and then they'd go back to their place and give it. And kadar b'chelbi, a story like b'chelbi, have a darsh b'tzipirin. He was darshing with tzipirin. Pasak taman, he was paisek over there that he was going to give tzedakah. Asa b'ayil mitan hacha, and he came and he wanted to give it over here in his city. Ravimi told him, yichidai at, you're a yachid, you're an individual, so you have to give it in the city that you pledged it. You're not allowed to come back to your hometown and give it there. Another discussion, ha'isin ner menorah b'beis haknesses. A person makes a ner, which is a lamp or a menorah, like a candelabra for the beis knesses. Let's say he donates it. So actually, shekher shem b'ayil mehen, until the name of the owners has been forgotten, and after shalosh nois l'makom acher, you're not allowed to change it to a different place. It's only im shekher shem b'ayil mehen, once the name was forgotten, meaning people forgot, they don't remember, they have no idea who donated this lamp or this menorah, after shalosh nois l'makom acher, then you're allowed to change it and move it or sell it to a different place. If the name of the owner, the person donated it, was engraved on it, so it's as if it wasn't forgotten because we know who donated it. And it's just like Antoninus, also he made a menorah for the shul. Shama Rebbe heard. And Amri commented, blesses Hashem that he placed in Antoninus's heart to make a menorah for the Beis HaKnesses. Now once we're on the topic of Antoninus, we'll go back to something we had discussed about 11 daf ago, and we're going to have quite a big repetition. So Shmuel Yitzchak Bai, he asks as follows, Ma Amar Rebbe, what did Rebbe say when he heard that Antoninus donated this menorah? Baruch Elikim or Baruch Elikenu? Was it just Baruch Elikim, blessed is Hashem, or Baruch Elikenu, blessed is our Hashem? In Amar Baruch Elikim, if he had said Baruch Elikim, so the Amar that tells us, Deloiz Gair Antoninus, that Antoninus did not become a Gair. Whereas in Amar Baruch Elikenu, if he said the Lashon of our God, had the Amar this Gair Antoninus, that tells us that Antoninus did become a Gair. And why is this relevant? Well, because Ismilin Amar this Gair Antoninus, Ismilin Amar Deloiz Gair Antoninus. There are those that say Antoninus became a Gair, and there are those that say that Antoninus did not become a Gair. So here's one opinion. They saw that he went out with a shoe that was worn out on Yom Kippur. It wasn't just a regular worn out shoe. Actually, it was missing the top straps. Basically, he was just walking on a piece of leather. It wasn't really a regular shoe. However, these people want to say from here that he did not become a ger because he was wearing leather shoes on Yom Kippur. However, right away says the Gemara, Machmam, you know, what do you learn from here? Shekena filu Yerushimayim yetzim b'kach. Even Yerushimayim go out like this because it's not really a shoe. It's just walking on a piece of leather, and that's fine on Yom Kippur. So no raya. Now, another discussion. Antoninus Amar Rebbe. Antoninus asked Rebbe, Miachalti atmin levyasan ba'amad asi. In the future, are you going to give me to eat from the levyasan? So Amar Lei, in. Rebbe told him yes. So Amar Lei, Antoninus told him, min imer pischol vechatani umin levyasan mat miachali. Well, from the carbon pesach, you're not going to give me to eat, but from levyasan, you will give me to eat. Amar Lei, so Rebbe told him, uma navalach, what should I do for you? Because the pasuk says beferish v'chol arel lo yoichal bay. Anyone who's uncircumcised is not allowed to eat from it, and you don't have besmila, so you can't eat from the carbon pesach. There's nothing I could do. They came to Shaminei Kane. Once he heard this from him, azal v'gazar, he went and he cut, which means Antoninus went and got a besmila. Azal kabe, he went back to Rebbe. Amar Lei, he told him, Rebbe, chami gazarti. See, I got a bris mila. Amar Lei, so Rebbe told him, Bididi lo istaklis miyamai. Even my own mila, I never looked at. Ela bididach, I should look at your mila. And v'lomenek yashmai Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Why was he called Rabbeinu HaKadosh? Shalai hibit b'milas miyamav, because he never looked at his mila. Now, once we're on the topic, we have something similar. V'lomenek yashmai Nachum Ishkadosh HaKadoshim. Why was this person called Nachum Ishkadosh HaKadoshim? That's because shalai hibit b'tzuris matbeya miyamav. He never looked at the form of a coin. There were different forms that maybe we considered avodah zara on a coin, and he never looked at a coin. Now, the bottom line is, Adar Amar this guy Antoninus. This tells us that Antoninus did become a ger, because he had gotten a bris mila, and we learned the Rabbanan Amar Dizgar Antoninus. The following member of the Rabbanan also tells Antoninus became a ger. The Amar Chizkiya, the Ravo said b'shem Rablazer, im bain hin gerut tzedek l'asid lavai. If gerut tzedek will come back l'asid lavai, Antoninus babaraisham, Antoninus will be at their head. So we see that Antoninus did become a ger. And onto another discussion. Ma mechnam treit las milim mepsuka. Is a person allowed to write two or three words from a pasuk down without sirtot? We know this halacha mashmi sinai. When a person is writing a pasuk, he has to make sirtot. He has to etch lines into the cloth, into the parchment, and that way he's going to write it straight and it's going to be beautiful and that's going to be proper kavod. The question is, he's not writing the entire pasuk, he's just writing two or three words out of the pasuk. Does that need to be done on sirtut? Which in essence means, are you allowed to just write that down stam on a piece of paper or no? So we're going to have a number of different memos. Mar Ukva, Mishlach Kasa L'Rish Galusa. Mar Ukva sent a letter to the Rish Galusa, and why was he sending him this letter? To have a domich v'kayim bezermin. He used to go to sleep and wake up with song, and the reason why that's a problem is because as follows. He wrote the following pasuk for him, Yisrael Al Tismach Ka'amim El Gil. Now really the pasuk is, Al Tismach Yisrael El Gil. But he wrote everything out of order. So you see, from here at maximum, you're allowed to write two words down from a pasuk in a row without sirtot, but not three. However, Rav Acha Kasav, Rav Acha would write Zecher Tzadik Levracha, and that's three words of the pasuk in a row. So we see the three words is okay. Now, Rav Zaira Kasav, V'loy Zachar Hamelach Yayash, and here as well, he switched around the words because it's supposed to be Yayash Hamelach, but instead he wrote Hamelach Yayash. So we see that two words is okay, three is not. Another member, Rabbi Yirmi Mishlach Kasav, Rabbi Yudin Nasiya. Rabbi Yirmi sent a letter to Rabbi Yudin Nasiya, and he wrote as follows: Lisnei Ayavecha Ula'ava Esaynecha. So he wrote three words. words in a row, but not more than that, because really the pasuk should be flipped around. It should say ula'ava sunecha lisnei sasayavecha, and so we see that just three words is okay, not more. In another memra, there's a little bit of a story. Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Imi don l'Tamar. They judged a person named Tamar, and she clearly didn't like the judgment. So azos v'kirvas aleihin, she went and she told on them la'antiputa de kesarin, to the ruler of kesarin. So shalchon v'kasul l'Ravo, these three, Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Imi, they sent a letter to Ravo asking him to intercede with the authorities on their behalf. Shalchon Ravo v'kasul l'hain, Ravo sent them a message and wrote the following to them: Kvar piyasul l'shlesh l'turin, we ready were mafias, we ready appeased the three l'turin, which are the three leaders. And who were these people? L'toiv yaled, l'toiv lamad, v'tarshish. Toiv yaled literally means good child. Toiv lamad means learned well. And tarshish is a precious stone. Now this is really written in code. He was just trying to say the names of the people whom he was mafias, who he appeased. And those were the three important people whose real names were Avdukim, Avmasim, and Talasim. And it's just the translation of their names are Toiv yaled, Toiv lamad, and tarshish. On top, the message continues. Ravo wrote to them, Aval Tamar, but the date, which is really referring to this lady Tamar who was not happy, Tamruim b'tamurah yemedes, she's remaining in her state of bitterness, ubikashu l'matka, and we tried to sweeten it, and here's where the pasuk comes in, ulashav tsaraf tsaruf, and for nothing this, the smelter smelted, and again, this is just a quote of a pasuk. We see from here that he wrote three words of a pasuk down, not just two. We have one more memra, Rav Mana Mishlach Kasav Rabbi Shai Reb Shammai. He sent a letter to Rabbi Shai Reb Shammai, and he wrote as follows, Rishischa mitzar ma'od, tiskach risecha, and really it's writing the pasuk out of order, because it should say, Rishischa mitzar v'achrischa yiske ma'od, as we see that he didn't even write three words, so according to him, only two words would be okay, not three. Where's our for the day? We'll pick up tomorrow explaining the last part of our Mishnah, and the reason why we're holding off until tomorrow is because it's really connected to the next Mishnah. But for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.